As Jesus drew near to Jerusalem, he knew that he was going to his crucifixion. And he knew that his disciples would have their faith tested. They would wonder if he was really the Messiah. They would scatter for fear of being crucified like he was. So he took the leaders of the apostles, Peter, James, and John, and went up Mount Tabor and was transfigured before them, revealing to them his glory. The church gives us this reading right at the beginning of Lent, but after we've had a little bit of time to start struggling with our Lenten fasting, to remind us why we're doing it. We don't fast for the sake of making ourselves suffer or to show how holy we are. We fast, pray, and give alms during Lent to learn how to rely on God's grace so that we might be transfigured too and share in the glory of God. We've been chosen by God and called. But called to what? To become like Christ. To be transformed and transfigured into the image of Jesus Christ. In our second reading, we heard what St. Paul wrote to Timothy. God saved us and called us to a holy life. We're called to holiness, which simply means to be godlike. And we can know what it means to be like God by looking at Jesus. After all, the Bible, especially the Old Testament, can be used and misused to support any idea, any theory, any lifestyle, just about. So how can we know what God really wants? We look to the example and teachings of Jesus. We are called, as St. Paul said, not according to our works. We weren't called because we're better, stronger, smarter, or more accomplished than anyone else. As they say, God doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the called. So, if you think about it, you can't earn a parent's love. They love you because you're their child. And if they don't, the problem is with them, not you. In the same way, God loves us because we're his children, not because we're good, but because he loves us, he wants to call us to something better, to call us into his life. And so, again, from St. Paul, we are called according to his own design and the grace bestowed upon us before time began, but now made manifest through the appearance of our Savior, Christ Jesus. That is, in Jesus, God's design, God's plan is made manifest, is revealed to us. God's very nature, who God is. And we see in Jesus that God is love. It's who he is. And we can only become like God by loving as God loves. Since God is infinite, he can give of himself without costing himself anything. He created the universe, the laws of the universe, every living thing, each one of us. And it didn't cost him anything. We, on the other hand, are very much limited. And so, in this world, there is no love without suffering. Because love always wants to give of itself, to give to the one who is loved. And that always costs us something. And so, to show us what the infinite love of God looks like in a human life, God became flesh in the man Jesus Christ. That's why the ultimate act of God's love for us is the cross on which the God-man, Jesus, gave his life for us. God's design, God's plan is illustrated in our first reading, which is the calling of Abraham. God called Abram. God didn't change his name to Abraham until later. And at the time that God called him, he was 75 years old, about wealthy, but without children of his own. And he asked him to travel to a distant land that he didn't know anything about. In return, he made him three promises. But Abram wouldn't receive any of those promises in his life. His descendants received the fulfillment of those promises. First, God promised to make Abraham a great nation. This promise wasn't fulfilled for another 500 years at Mount Sinai after the Exodus. When, if you've ever seen the old Ten Commandments movie, right, with Charlton Heston, I think, and he comes down with the law, with the Ten Commandments, right, and that is the moment when God gives the law, when God takes the Israelites as his people and makes them into a nation. Second, God promised to make Abram's name great, which is later explained by saying that kings will come from Abram's line. And this is fulfilled for about 800 years after Abraham's time, when his descendant David would become king of Israel. And finally, God promises, all the communities of the earth shall find blessing in you. The universal blessing, the blessing to all the nations, is fulfilled 1,800 years later in Jesus Christ, who told his disciples, go forth, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have taught you. Abraham wasn't called for himself, but for others. God chose Abraham and gave his descendants the law and the prophets so that they could become a blessing to all the nations. And through one of his descendants, in particular Jesus Christ, he could call all people into this family he had gathered around himself. We have been called, but not for ourselves. We've been called to bring the blessings of God to others by being like Christ. Who have you been called for? For your spouse? For your children? The sick and the injured? The poor and the homeless? The ones who don't have Jesus Christ in their lives? The blessings we have are not for us. They're meant to be used for the glory of God. Each morning, let us all ask God to not let any opportunities to serve him pass us by. And every evening, thank God for those opportunities, those blessings, and ask him to help us to do just a little bit better, to live just a little bit more in his love tomorrow.